Very quick thought on the parsha. A lot to talk about in parsha's Emor, but I think the end of the parsha. I think 1 year on the Chumash we discussed the entire share was devoted to the end of the parsha, the Makalo. I find it fascinating, the Makalo story.
I am thinking of putting a little.
Someone got this Makalo fellow was so upset,
it's okay.
So angry, goes out in the middle of the whole Kehillah and he curses.
We have enough to make.
And the question that needs to be asked is, what was he so mad about? Nebuch, we live in a world today of mass shootings, and there's sadly too many of them. And the first question everyone wants to know is, what triggered this person? Why would someone do something so terrible? What made him? What was his background? What was the trigger? So what was the trigger for this Makal? So Chazal give us three different pshatim. One of the pshatim Chazal give us, Rashi quotes it on the page, it was, he was very disturbed about the lechem upon him. He was very disturbed how the kehanim were going to get not fresh bread. That was his anger. How could it be the kehanim are going to be served at the end of a week the bread? By then it's going to be stale, and how could you give the kehanim stale bread? Very, very upset about this. I don't know too many people that are that upset about someone else's mamonis. Usually we're upset about our own mamonis. This guy was so upset that the kehanim are not going to get fresh bread. So I saw Rabbi Fran quotes from the Talmud Rebbe. Talmud Rebbe says, Al-Pidrush, what he was claiming was that one of the major yisoides of Judaism is based on the Shulchan, that we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directly involved in all of our mezainis, all that we live, all of our parnasa comes directly from Hashem. So what this Mikhail was so upset about was he felt that's not true. That Hashem does not get involved in our mamonis. Hashem does not get involved in our bread. And Hashem will give the kehanim stale bread. Not because he wasn't angry because of the stale bread. He was angry because he came to the realization that Hashem is not involved in our gashmis. Hashem has detached himself from our parnasa. And that's what angered. That's the Talmud Rebbe's pshat. But there's another idea over there, Zalman Soroskin points out, which I think connects to Lag BaOmer. Zalman Soroskin says if he just would have waited to the end of the week, he would have realized that the bread is fresh. What was his problem? He was convinced the bread is not fresh. How do you know? Because to your eye, it looks like it's not. What do you if you would have waited till the end and you would have seen it was fresh? And the Gemara says, Oyler Regalim, at the end of each one of the shows, Regalim, they used to show the bread to everyone to see how fresh it was. This guy was too short-minded. He wasn't looking big picture. He was looking at right now. Right now, oh, it must be bad. And that's the whole idea of Lag BaOmer. Rabbi Akiva, one of the pshatim for what makes Lag BaOmer Yomtif is that Rabbi Akiva made his big comeback on Lag BaOmer. Rabbi Akiva had been through a lot. His beginning of his life was fascinating. Then he became Rabbi Akiva. Then he lost all his students. So if I was in Rabbi Akiva's shoes, I would have closed up shop, moved to Florida, retired, have like a podcast or something, a webinar share, call it a day. Rabbi Akiva lost everything. And Rabbi Akiva lost his Talmidim for the principle that he prized himself on, of Yavta Racha Kamaicha. Rabbi Akiva was the one who talked about Yavta Racha Kamaicha, and his students died because they lacked it. Can you imagine the embarrassment? Rabbi Akiva said, no, that's very short term. That's very narrow-minded thinking. Let's link future. What's going to be the future of Klal Yisrael? So Rabbi Akiva got up on Lag BaOmer, made a massive comeback, taught five Talmidim. From that five Talmidim is where we have Teresh HaBabet today. So I think that's the same mistake. The Makal's mistake was he just looked at the right now. When you look at the right now, obviously things often can look bleak and depressing and sad, but you have to think big picture. Okay, this is a little bump in the road. There's bigger things ahead. There's more important things at the end. And perhaps that was the Makal's mistake. Okay, we left off. Last week, we saw a Rambam, where the Rambam told us that there's three levels of mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There's first teach your son, then teach your grandson, and then teach the neighbor's kid, Ben Chaver. So I want to go back to over here, a very, very important hakira from the Birka Shmuel. Birka Shmuel is Reb Baruch Ben Leibowitz, but he quotes a hakira, not his own hakira, but a hakira from his famed son-in-law. Reb Baruch Ben had a very famous son-in-law named Reb Reuven Grozovsky. Reb Reuven Grozovsky survived the war, moved to America. It was a Rebbe in Tarvadav, a Shima Tarvadav for a little bit. Ultimately, he moved up to Muncie, based on Rish Elyon, and he Nebuch died relatively young. He got hit by a car, and that had impacts on his life. But he was a big goin. He's responsible, and Reuven Grozovsky is responsible for something more than no one knows about. He's responsible for Reb Aaron Cutler and Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky. Why? Because they were all together in Slobodka, and Reb Reuven was given the job to make sure that Reb Aaron and Reb Yaakov stay on the straight and narrow. Now, it doesn't mean Chas V'Shalom, Reb Yaakov and Reb Aaron were at risk. But there was Reb Reuven was given the job by the altar to read a lot of Reb Aaron's mail to make sure all the letters, because we all know Reb Aaron had a sister who was a communist. She was always trying to schlep him out of yeshiva, make him a communist. She used to say how such a wasted mind, he could have been a great professor, he could have been all this stuff, but he was able to stay in learning. So Reb Reuven was given the job by the altar to keep both Reb Yaakov and Reb Aaron away from all these bad influences. So people say that maybe Reb Reuven's greatest claim to fame, besides for all his Torah and all his learning, was he's responsible for Reb Yaakov and Reb Aaron today, and what they did today for American Jewry, which is an amazing, amazing schos to say that you helped Rav Aaron and Rav Yaakov be who they are today. But in any case, Reuven Gruzovsky has the following chakira. Number one, very important chakira. He writes the following. Number one, this is the Sefer Birka Shmuel. This is Rabbi Ber's Shurim. He quotes from his son-in-law. Chokah choisni harav hagoy Reuven. Baruch Ber says, my son-in-law had the following chakira. We've been talking a lot about the last couple of weeks that the father's obligation to teach his son Torah. We said there's a father's obligation to teach his son Torah, there's a grandparent's obligation, and then there's just a Jewish obligation, even for someone else. So Reb Reuven had the following chakira. How do you look at the father's obligation to teach Torah? What did it start him? It's like a parental obligation. K'moi, milo, upidin ha-ben, shehi michuyove ha-ben alav. Right, the simple side, if I asked anyone, why does a father have to teach his son Torah? The answer is because you're his parent. And these are parental obligations. The same way you got to teach him a trade, you got to send him to school, you got to clothe him. These are what we call today parental obligations. Says Reb Reuven, the first side is the way we all would have assumed. That the Torah, the Gemara lumped together, everyone remembers when we learned Kedushin, when we started the Sugya, you know, on Amar Aleph in Chav Tes, the Gemara said, "Ha'al Chayiv, the father's obligation, the Moiloi, if Doi say v'lam the Torah." The Torah lumped together these three things, and therefore they're all the same. Harei bechlal mitzvahs talmud Torah in milo pidyon haben v'heima bechlal chiyuv haben. So the simple side of the chakira would be that the parental obligations, and what we learned last week was there might even be a grandparental obligation. But let's talk about son for a second, then we'll deal with grandparents later today. But the son's obligation, says Reb Reuven, is a parental obligation. That's the way all of us would have thought. Comes Reb Reuven Gruzovsky and says, maybe not. Oi, no. Oi, loy, maybe not. Ella duhu michiyuv talmud Torah. Says Reb Reuven, maybe we have this all wrong. You know why I have to teach my son Torah? Not because he's my son. Because I have to teach Torah. Why do I have to teach Torah? I'm not a Rebbe. Says Reb Reuven, k'moy sheyeshchiyuv lo moy batzmoy, k'en yeshchiyuv the talmud Torah l'lamei l'bnoy, ella shebnoy k'itmoy. Reb Reuven has this possibility. But the reason why I have to teach Torah is because there's a mitzvah to teach Torah, not because you're my son. There's a mitzvah to spread Torah. Spread Torah. You do. That's what Rambam says. You do. You got to teach your son, your grandson, the neighbor's kid. The only question is who gets priority. Because we find that a lot of halachas that there's priority. Let's say by tzedakah. There's a mitzvah to give tzedakah, and we find the halachas you give to your family first. But doesn't mean it's a different mitzvah. I mean, when you give tzedakah to your family, it's not a different mitzvah. It's the same mitzvah, just a question of priority. So says Reb Reuven, maybe the pshat is no. Maybe the way you look at the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it's an offshoot of your own mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not just for you to learn Torah, it's for Torah to be taught and spread. Sorry?
If you didn't teach yourself,
it's
for someone else.
Correct. That would be true.
We mean the pasuk of Shinan, it's just for Kedima.
That's what the Rambam told us. That's what we saw in the Rambam last week. The Rambam said, so why does the Torah do that? So the kasha that you're asking, I think, is we know that Menas Svara. Because like by Tztaka, Kedima works. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that? It's a good kasha. If Moshe deals with that in the Dibris Moshe. But
even more so, the Hodatim of Anecha, the Dibris Moshe, doesn't extend the, its categories to anybody outside of that. Once they're many being told.
No, but I have another pasuk for the neighbor's kid. We have a Sifri, the Sifri quote, a pasuk, the Matam Moshe Mes Bnechem, Elu Talmidim. We learn a pasuk that you have to teach Ben Chavir. Again, everything's got psukim. Everything has got psukim over here. Now, I when I saw this chakir for Reb Reuven, I thought to myself, 1 second. I forgot. We learned the Gemara together. We had a Gemara together where the Gemara entertained the possibility maybe the mother has a chiv to teach the son Torah. Now, I apologize I didn't put it in because I made the sheet before I realized this. That's why it's sometimes not good to make sheets early. But there's a Gemara in Kedushin of Chav Tes on the base. We learned it together. The Gemara asks, how do you know the mother doesn't have to teach the son Torah? Whoa, according to Reb Reuven, second side of the Chakira, what type of kash is that? The mother's no chiv Talmud Torah. If the mother's no chiv Talmud Torah, she definitely has no chiv to teach Torah. If the chiv to teach Torah is a parental mitzvah, so I hear the Gemara's Havamina. The mother's also a parent. Maybe she has to do it. But according to Reb Reuven, second side, that it's not a parental obligation, it's a Torah obligation. What on earth was the Gemara thinking? But you know what the Gemara answers over there? The Gemara answers this teretz. That the reason why the mother doesn't have to teach her son Torah is because she herself doesn't have to learn Torah. That was beautiful. According to Reuven, the Gemara reads beautifully. That's the Gemara's answer. The reason why the mother doesn't have to teach her son Torah is because she doesn't have her own chiyuv to learn Torah. And the whole chiyuv to teach your son is an offshoot of your own chiyuv Talmud Torah. No, so that we talked about. That the Gemara doesn't answer. The Gemara doesn't say she can't do Mila. Because we discussed maybe she's not necessarily mufka for Mila, she's just physically not connected to Mila. But we have a pasuk, and the Gemara makes this whole drushes that women are part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So therefore, the Gemara reads so beautifully according to Reuven. The Gemara wasn't just saying, oh, technically women are. No, it's more than that. It's in the root of the mitzvah, women are exempt. That's why they don't have a mitzvah to teach their son. So that. Benechav Lebenaseichim was the parent via the child. Here I'm talking about the mother via the kid, the opposite way. So the Gemara says, the mother doesn't have to teach son because that mother's father didn't have to teach her. So the Gemara, if you go back to Dushan Chavtas, you'll see how beautifully the Gemara reads according to the second side of the Reuven's Chakir.
So the school board can't go to the mother for the tuition?
For sure not. Unless we saw last week from Steinemann, based on a Chazon Ish, maybe they could if it's a question of keeping the kid from. Chazon Ish had a Chiddush that sometimes you have to teach your son Torah, not so much as the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but the mitzvah of keeping him from. So that's the chazan, that Steinman said that maybe you could go to the mother. But strictly speaking, for regular tuition, you cannot go to the mother. Correct. Okay, it might be better than Rambam. We'll come back to in a second. Now, if you open up the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph, right? This is Talmud Torah. What would you think opening line in the Rambam should be? Chayiv Adam Lo My Torah. Right? Shouldn't that be like, you know, opening phrase? That's totally not the opening. The opening phrase is all about the teaching. Teaching. You don't have to teach your children. You do have to teach. Like, what's the pshat? So they say the same idea. Because it's all a toitzah of your own chiyuv Talmud Torah. Meaning if learning, teaching your children was what we call a parental mitzvah, it doesn't really belong in Hilchos Talmud Torah. It belongs in Hilchos, you know, parents. But now, according to this side of Reuven, it's kishmak. Because the mitzvah of teaching your children Torah is not a parental. It is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. When you learn with your son, you be mekam Talmud Torah. It's all soivev. It's all connected to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. This is Reuven Grzovsky's second side. That's right. This is not a parental mitzvah. This is mamish, not a parental mitzvah. This is a mitzvah of an offshoot of your own mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Oh, well, we'll get there. We'll have to see. So we'll get to everything. You're skipping way ahead over here.
Of your own chiyuv to learn Torah. So why does the Rama start with your own chiyuv to learn Torah?
Right, because if you learn the Kipshuta that it's a din of parental, so then why is the Rama mixing in parental Hilchos Talmud Torah? The answer is right. I mean, it's part of it is Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah means to teach others.
Right. So, but shouldn't you start off with your own chiyuv to learn by on your own?
Right. Again, you should have let them from there. Yeah, it's all one big chiyuv according to him. So let's see. Now the problem is, Reb Baruch Ber has a little bit of a problem with this sad. So he writes over here. He says, he quotes the Goin, the Gra. The Gra in Yoridea Resh Memhesiv Konzai Mavur, the mitzvahs Talmud Torah Deben, Einoi Kimoi Mitzvahs Milo Pedin Aben. So Reb Baruch Ber wants to help out his son in law's Chakira. He says that he thinks there's a raya from the Vilna Goin in Yoridea. What does the Vilna Goin say over there? He says that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is fundamentally different than Mila and Pedin Aben. How? The Shom Maisa HaMitzvah Rame Alav. Because over there, the act of the mitzvah falls on the father. Thank you. Because man sheesh av, choiv hamila v'apinyin deben hu alav. Avo mitzvah Talmud Torah deben hamaisa delimun enei mitzvah miyuchedes la'av al beno yoyse me'al kol ish Yisrael. V'hachoytev mitzvah limun aben. Can you imagine? Some guy does the worst thing to you. He runs ahead of you and pays your tuition. What a rush. And you want to bring him to Bezdin because he chapped your mitzvah. I don't think that will ever happen in history. But lo yitzor, what happened? Lo yitzor, such a mitzias. Some guy comes and he goes over to the tuition board and says, you know, I'm going to pay Yenim's tuition. And you find out about it and you're mortified. A chutzpah, you took away a mitzvah. I have a mitzvah to give money for my son's Torah. Says the Vilna Goin, you can't even take him to Bezdin and mun him for stealing the mitzvah. Why? Said, because there is no parental chiyuv. I am also obligated to teach your son Torah. And you're obligated. We're all equal. This is not a parental mitzvah, says Rabbi Baruch Ber. Just like you have to learn Ben Chaver. Again, do I have a parental obligation to teach the neighbor's kid Torah? Totally not. I can't use him as a tax write-off. He's not my kid. But I have a gift to teach him Torah. Says Rabbi Baruch Ber, what do you see from here? That there's a musig, there's a concept of having a mitzvah Talmud Torah, not as a parent. So what's it out of? So says Reb Ruvin, it's based on my own mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah requires that I learn and I teach and I spread Torah. Beautiful, very nice. What's the problem with this side of the Chakira? Reb Baruch Ve'er points out already. El de lefizet tmua. Ma dechashva ha-braisa lumay Torah im lamoy l'levdaisa. The braisa lumped together a bunch of mitzvahs. A father's chayiv to give his son a bris milah, give him a pidyon haben, and to teach him Torah. You know, they play the game, which one doesn't fit here? So says Reb Baruch Ve'er, which one of those three don't fit into this mixture? The answer is Mila. The first two, Mila and Pidyon HaBen, those are real parental obligations. But Talmud Torah doesn't fit. Where's Talmud Torah? Talmud Torah is not a parental obligation. So asks Reb Baruch Ve'er, how do you read the Braisa? El de lefizet tmua ma dechashva Braisa lam de Torah im lemoilu levdoisoi. The Braisa lumped together Talmud Torah with Mila and Pidyon HaBen. Ma sheich is chiv Mila and Pidyon HaBen. Who mitzvah say the av? The chi of Talmud Torah, the ben, the mitzvahs kaladim. The av gam kein who bechlal kaladim. Says Reb Baruch Ve'er, it's a little bit misleading when you read the brayso. Brayso kedusha chavtesam and aleph. The brayso reads everyone all mitzvahs of a father on a son. One of the examples, mila pidyon ben Talmud Torah. It's not really true according to Reb Ruvin's second side. Talmud Torah is not a parental obligation. Talmud Torah is a general obligation. So therefore, Reb Baruch Ve'er points out that this chakira, the second side of the chakira, may be very nice and lomdis, but doesn't seem to work out in the Lashon HaGemara. Well, some of them do. And we learned that Mila does go to Bezdin. Pidyon HaBen doesn't go to Bezdin. And we had a whole machlokes, what does Bezdin mean? Bezdin mean only Bezdin, or Bezdin means Kol Yisrael? But he's saying that in the root of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, no. Because at least by Mila Pidyon HaBen, it starts off being a parental obligation. When not done, gets passed down here. From the get-go, it's not a parental obligation. So this is an unbelievable chiddush from Reb Ruvin. The whole new look at this. It's not about a parental obligation, but rather it's more about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah.
Yeah, appropriate doesn't like it.
No, he does. He ends up answering. He has a teretz based on a grua, which I don't know if we'll get back into, but it's a good horror about the
typical
kasha.
Typical form,
he ends up helping it out. Don't worry. And therefore, how would you say it that way?
You have two sources of why you come.
So that's what Reb Baruch Ve'er ends up doing to answer up. He wants to say, and that's how he answers up the meschar part. That there might be two parts. There's one part as just regular, then there's part of the parental part, which costs you money. That's really what Reb Baruch Ve'er ends up answering to this cash, 100%. Now, if you look over here in the Shiurim of David Pavarsky, in the Shiurim of David Pavarsky, number two,
this whole chiddush on the Haggadah is that it's only, the whole thing is just Talmud Torah.
Uh-huh.
Right? So it could be that. That's this, because you have the Arba Banim, and it's just the Ninian of the Talmud Torah, like what the
could be. And so again, it's a new look. Most of us think of this as a parental obligation, but sometimes these things really are an offshoot of our general mitzvah of Talmud Torah.
Well, this says bincha, so we are more
and we assume seven. Right. The pasuk says, you know, v'datul nechol nevanecha, but according to this, it has to be a more of a broader type of chiyuv. Now, Reb David Pavarsky, number two, makes an interesting observation. He says, let's go back to the Rambam. We had a Rambam, very shvei Rambam last week, where the Rambam told us there's a hierarchy in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It starts off Benoi, then it goes Ben Benoi, then it goes Ben Chaver. It is a kedima. There's an order of precedence. So Reb David Pavarsky points out the following. Number two, he writes, he quotes that Rambam. He says, Reb David Pavarsky assumes that the same reason why I'm teaching my son is why I'm teaching Ben Chaver. You could have learned differently. You could have learned that there's one type of chiyuv to benoi, there might be a different type of chiyuv to ben benoi, and there might be a third chiyuv to ben chaver. That's a possibility. I don't know why he didn't think like that. I could have assumed that there's three different types of chiyuv. They're all three different psukim. One pasuk is a parental mitzvah, one pasuk is a grandparent mitzvah, and one pasuk is for ben chaver. But he thinks from the Lashon HaRambam, it's mashma that it's all the same chiyuv. It's just a question of kedim. Now, where did he get that from? Because the Rambam starts off with a kasha. If I have to teach Ben Chaveroi, so why did the Torah write Benoi and Ben Benoi? So the simple answer is because they're different mitzvahs. They're not the same. What do you mean? They're three separate mitzvahs. So they ask, why did the Torah have to give me tzitzis, tefillin, and mezuzah? Because they're three different mitzvahs. So Reb David Pavarsky assumed in the Rambam that they're not different mitzvahs. They're all one same thing. Teach Torah to the mass. So the mass is my son, my grandson, and the neighbor's kid. They're all the mass. Exactly. Like that Chakir. So it says Reb David Pavarsky, you're not teaching the neighbor's kid because you're his father. You're not his father. You're not a parent. You have absolutely no parental relationship. Rak misha mitzvahs tamo teira. Dechenu mitzvahs tamo teira lilmoid ba'atzmoy ulamid lacherim. What is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, says Reb David Bavarsky, really mimicking Reb Reuven Grozovsky, that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not just learning, it's to teach, spread the word of Hashem, right? Spread Torah. So Reb David Bavarsky is helping Reb Reuven Grozovsky and saying that the Rambam sounds like that sad. The Rambam sounds like this idea, that it's not the pshat that there's three separate mitzvahs. A parental mitzvah, a grandparent mitzvah, and then last, a neighborhood mitzvah. No, it's all the same mitzvah.
How do you separate them if you make it a mitzvah and on your own, you're individually learning it yourself, then how do you ever have the fear to stop doing that to go to the other, you know, to the same field? So saying, if you have a separate field.
Yeah, according to him, when you're learning with them, you're learning also. That's also key of Talmud Torah.
I saw
the right. Some kid down. You see a kid at the table.
Why are we here, Rabbi? What should we be teaching our kids?
Right. So the problem is, it's even more than that. The mitzvah to teach, to learn for yourself, is never ending. You have to learn everything. Oh, that's the question. So how far do I have to teach everyone else? Right, so there might be a limit. So we'll have to come back to this. So this is
Rabbi. So again, I'm not hooked on this, but the school board then can't go to anybody, or they can go to everybody. The
only problem is the Rambam Paskin, as we do in Shulchan Aruch, your chiv to the neighbor is not with money.
So only
your son and grandchildren. There is a difference. Exactly.
Tuition board.
I was told that in Lakewood, some of the yeshivas tried coming to grandparents for tuition. No, al pi halacha. Not just because nice, they say it's a sugya and kedushin. Now we'll talk a little bit about it. It's a very hard sell halachically that you can actually get the grandparents to give money. I think the grandparents should say, you have to prove to me that you have a right to demand tuition. But it's a nice thing if grandparents have extra money and they want to help their kids. It's beautiful. Now we'll have to talk about that.
That's right.
That's a big shaila. Exactly. Very good. If the tuition board is not careful, they're going to back themselves into a corner. Why? They're going to come with such a chiyuv. And the father says, okay, so I can't use my money. No, that's a chiyuv. So again, I'm not doing it. But the
IRS recommends it because they consider that not a taxable.
Really?
Tuition for the grandchildren, and it's not a gift.
It's not a gift. Really?
The IRS obviously did not come to this year.
Wow. They were already machriya, shine. Okay. Okay, we'll talk a little bit halacha ma'aseh about the topic. Again, there's a lot to talk about. We'll see a little bit more about it, but yeah, that's a fundamental difference. Does the grandparent have a real chiyuv to the extent that now he can't use meisim?
Except unless it's a granddaughter.
Now we'll see. What about a third generation? I don't know if we're going to get into it. There's a chuv from the Shvus Yankiv. He talks about how far does this go? Third generation, fourth generation. The great grandparents are getting younger and younger every single day. Yeah. So, but they want to pay the tuition for the great grandchildren.
They don't want it.
We'll see. So let's take a look over in a gavaldik chuva for a dibris meisha. Right, the dibris meisha is so often overlooked, because they're so long. He wrote the Dibris Moshe. His Dibris Moshe are gevaldik, but you have to have the koiches to sit through them. You have to have the mindset to go through all of them. A lot of us cheat. We just look at the end. He has a sikum at the end of each anaf. So we cheat and go to the end. Same thing with the Dibri Yoel. I was once talking to Rabbi Tzal Radinsky about this. He told me that one time when he was a bach, he decided he's going to sit down and go through all of it, not skipping around. He said it was gevaldik. I can't do it. You have to have a really... These Dibris Moshe starts with like 10 kashas. And it goes on and answers them all. It's unbelievable. He used to prepare the shurim Thursday night, Rav Moshe. That's when he used to prepare the shurim that he used to get Friday morning at MTJ. So Rav Moshe over here in the Dibris Moshe, he says a gevaldike yisoit, the opposite of a Reuven Grozovsky. Mamish, polar opposite of a Reuven Grozovsky. He says, ulufiza, says Rav Moshe, sheyesh bezin yonah b'mitzvah salimah. Yesh lefarish, da mitzvah ala av lelamid lebnoi, says Ramosh, they're totally different things. What are they? Says Ramosh. The mitzvah shall av who beshvil tzorche haben the olav muto liroi shibno yucha leiskayim ba'olam shleichoshachas v'shalom v'shomchet. Says Ramosh, gavaltig yisoid. Do you know why you have to teach your son Torah? To make sure he stays from. He needs to know how to be a religious Jew. You don't want him to be nichshal in any one of the averis. Says Rav Moshe, Mam is the opposite of Reuven Grozovsky. Reuven Grozovsky was trying to convince us that the chiyuv to teach your son is Talmud Torah. Okay, Moshe, no, you have to teach your son Torah so he can survive in a firm world. Oh, yeah, that's the mitzvah. What's that? This is what we call a parental mitzvah. Exactly. That's what Moshe is going to say. Very good. Possibly. Very good. We'll see. Very good. So, Zakir Moshe, what is this? To David's point, the Braisa lumped them all together. What did it lump it together? Teaching your son Torah, teaching your son to trade, teaching your son swimming. Well, what's the connection? The answer is that we're all survival. They're all things you need to survive. Some of them are physical, some of them are spiritual. Says Rav Moshe, those are all things you need to survive in the world. He needs to know about mitzvahs. How to live his life. He has to make sure not to violate isurim and know how to do mitzvahs. Says Rav Moshe, but now Rav Moshe has to bavar nekasha, which we spoke about a few weeks ago. If you just teach your son Torah Shemiksav, you're going to make him a karoi. Right, well, what's he going to know? Right, what's he going to know? You teach your son Tanakh, you learn all Chumash with him. And let's say you do Navi and Ksuvim, you'll be Machmir, and you'll teach your son Tanakh. He's going to know anything. He's going to know how to live a firm life. So we had this kasha a few weeks ago. We had this kasha. What exactly are you doing for your son when you teach him Tanakh? So says Rav Moshe, no, not a kasha. Why? Shelezeh sagi kishayamdu ad shiyoda ikrei hamitzvus. The yovin l'sh'ol kishitzar chalas is ezedover mechachamim hayoidim lohirois. Says Rav Moshe, give him enough information. And now he could research and ask. You give him just enough that now he knows. He knows the Dal Musig of Tefillin. He doesn't know how to put on Tefillin. But he knows that he has to ask the rabbi how to put on Tefillin. He knows there's such a thing called Lulav and Hetzrig. He doesn't exactly know what Kapos Tamar and Nafal Tavos Mavi Nachal are, but he knows that he's got to figure out how to do this. No, you don't tell him Torah Shabbat. Just Torah Shabbat Ksav. Now the Karayim just do Torah Shabbat Ksav. They don't bother asking because to them there is no more. You're educating your son. There's more out there. Right, this is not the end. This is just the beginning. This is just the tipush of the yam. And now go and study more. So, when he gets older, he's going to have to research on his own. But you got to give him the what we call the tools.
But why
should the Gemara
assume that you only teach
the
Torah?
The Gemara says so. The Gemara says you only have to teach a mikra. That's how we saw the Gemara Paschal. You only have to teach us a mikra, which is machlokes. Is it just Torah or not also?
So
we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. You don't have to teach your son Mishnah. Well, we'll get to Bli Neder. The Shulchan Aruch quotes a Ramah. Ramah says, but if you have the time, Abadi, you should teach him everything. But strictly speaking, and this is where it's very negated to tuition, after the kids stop learning Mikra, you're technically done. Mikra Adin. So, right, this is only, here he's discussing the parental obligation. Right, he's saying right now. No. But Moshe is saying that what I want from this dibbus Moshe is my chiv to teach my son Torah is my parental obligation to ensure my son lives a firm life. I don't have that for the neighbor's kid.
So is the mitzvah Talmud Torah for other people different?
Yes. Not like a Reuven Gazal.
It's not just the fundamental.
No.
It would still be the
It's exactly. L'chaira. That's a good question. It would still be limited to the same limitation, but maybe for a different reason.
By the way, is this Rav Moshe Lishitasa when he says about your daughters that you can't adopt the person?
Yes, yes. Because this is Rav Moshe's whole idea that part of Chinuch, which we already saw from Chazanish last week, part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah sometimes is not just Torah, but it's to make sure your kids stay firm, which is why Rav Moshe holds you can't use Maisa money for your daughter's tuition. Even though it's a Mefurash, a Gemara, everyone agrees, you're not Mechoyev to teach your daughter's Torah, so why can't you use daughter's tuition? So Rav Moshe says, because you still have to make sure they stay firm. If you send them to not religious schools, it's not going to work. Sefer says, Ramayisha, not Yechiv Talmud Torah. Yechiv to raise daughters, to raise a future generation of Jewish girls. It's not going to work if you don't send them to Jewish schools.
The same thing as boys when they start learning Mishnah.
That's right.
You don't have to.
That's what the Chazanish said, right. That really make a redin. After you get to Mishnah, you're part. But the Chazanish said, but they're not going to stay from necessarily. If you just teach it to Tanakh and you take him out of school, he's going to be lost. Right? Chazanish said that also, right?
Oh, didn't the Gemara know that?
What?
Didn't the Gemara know that?
I guess back then, they stayed a lot. Things were easier back then, I guess.
Mariah more popular back then. Than
yeah, 100%. So let's read the end of Rav Moshe. It's Kaval, it's Dr. Rav Moshe. V'nicha l'fizeh mashakas of Rashi. Says Rav Moshe, now I understand Rashi. What does Rashi say back on the Gemara? Amasha omer rov mikrazu taira. If you remember, we had a Gemara 2 weeks ago. The Gemara said, mikra means taira. Shehu rak taira v'loy nevim tzum. Rashi learned, you only have to teach your son the ta part, not even the nach part. We saw that the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, Paskin, you have to teach him the Vimek Suvim also. Says Rav Moshe, why? Why does Rashi hold you don't have to teach your son Nach? What's wrong with Nach? Says Rav Moshe, beautiful. Rishim Shirach B'teirish in Chamishi Chom Shetari Nemru Hadinim. Dem Zeyod Al Lishol Eich Lasis. Says Rav Moshe, it's beautiful. Because what's the purpose of Talmud Torah? knowing mitzvahs. Where are the mitzvahs found? In the Torah. The Nevi'im is the Rabbanon, but that's beautiful, but it's not the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are in the Torah. And Rav Moshe Lushitasi says, the whole reason why you teach us on Torah is so you should be well-versed in Torah. Mitzvahs. So why should I teach in Navi and Ksuvim?
So then you should have a teacher, to teach in Gemara and Halacha too.
No. Rav Moshe's whole idea is you have to expose your child to the mitzvahs of Torah. And then he'll figure it out the rest on his own. But there's no mitzvahs of Torah in the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim. If you would have learned the Pshat in the father, let's say you hold like Reuven Grzovsky, that the father's mitzvah is an offshoot of your mitzvah Talmud Torah. Then why stop at Torah? Why not go to Nevi'im and Ksuvim? But Zokter Moshe, according to the way I understand it, it's not about Torah. It's about setting your son up to be able to be a religious Jew. So to be a religious Jew, you got to know the Torah of the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are not found in Navi and Ksuvim.
How about the mitzvahs that are, you know, like we say, Kabbalah, like Purim, there's that.
Those are the Rabbanan. Those are lower level. So that the Gemara held you're not responsible for. But then he goes even right to Rav Moshe. He says, the mizeh yod alishol eich lasos. The kibin sheyilmad v'kroa shen istavenu lushchoit. Arei behechuch yishol eich tzvich lushchoit. Rav Moshe is giving kids an assumption that kids are going to ask. Meaning, you're going to teach your son this da mitzvah of the Torah called shchita. The kids are going to ask you, how do you do it? Say, listen, you're going to have to go find that on your own. But you should know. Daf and visin, this da musik fin shchita. And you figure out how to do it. Okay? V'yilmadu imar v'lo yichosh v'sir achila. You read the Chumash, you just chat him like that. He's going to say, what on earth is that? So the father's going to say, this is the mitzvah of tefillin. He goes, how do I do tefillin? Well, you figure that out also. Yishol eich tzvicha maase tefillin. Lechem b'chol mitzvah, mitzvah shebeteiro, shebeksav, en yoidim el his tapeik, uvelishol es hachachom. It's a very gishmaka deher. Moshe holds, the mitzvah of the father is not to teach his son kala tera kula. The mitzvah of the father is not even to teach his son how to do mitzvahs. It's to whet his appetite to learn that there's more out there. Exactly. That's right. Exactly. Very interesting. According to Rav Moshe, the mitzvah is not to make your son into a Talmud Chacham or even to make him into a regular Jew who knows how to do mitzvahs. It's to teach him that he needs to get to that stage. So based on this, now we can understand the Me'iri that we had a kasha with a few weeks ago. If you take a look at number four, the Me'iri, he had trouble with this Me'iri. The Me'iri says, Eino av chai b'li m'tera ben el ter shebiksav, ad sheyeda inyan ha-mitzvahs, V'yikayim oisam karo. Right? The Me'iri says that you're going to teach your son Torah Shebiksav, and he'll know the ideas of the mitzvahs, and he'll fulfill them properly. So we asked, what are you talking about, fulfill them properly? If you just teach your son Torah Shebiksav, he's going to be a karoi. Torah is according to Moshe, it's beautiful. V'yikayim oisam karo doesn't mean that's what you're teaching him. You have to read the Me'iri beautifully. Achi yoida inyana mitzvahs. You teach your son that there's mitzvahs. And you know what then? He'll learn how to do them karo. Not that you're teaching him that. That's also true. But according to this Me'iri, the father's obligation is not to teach him how to put on tefillin. The father's obligation is to teach him this da musik from tefillin. You go study it. Exactly. No, but Ramosha, Ramosha says by trade, do you teach your son how to make, do you give your son money or you teach him how to make money? Ramosha, same thing. Exactly. So Ramosha says the mitzvah of limba umnis is not to give him money, it's to teach him how to make money. All right, so here I'm teaching him how to learn about Torah mitzvahs. That's where Moshe makes that analogy, right?
Yeah.
Very nice marshal where Moshe gets.
That it changes about the girls that says they won't be from, but 200 years ago in Europe, the girls all learned from their mothers.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. That's why when the Beis Yaakov movement started, it was met with a lot of pushback. A lot of Gedolim, including the Chafetz Chaim, was against it. He didn't think there was a need for it. That's because in Radin, the girls were staying from, and in other parts of Europe, they were not staying from. So as time evolved and people learned more of what was going on, they all jumped on the bandwagon very quickly, actually. Let's take a look over here, number five, the Orchas Rabbeinu. Very rarely do we quote this sefer in a Sunday morning shiur. The Orchas Rabbeinu was written by a Rabbi Horowitz, who was a very close Talmud, it could be even Mishpacha, to the Stipler. And he records all the different practices and the things he's heard from the Stipler and Chaznish and Chaim Kinevsky, that whole family over there. The five-volume sefer. So listen to what he writes over here. He says, Omali Maivir Rebishli. The Stipler told me, Misvaras Atzmoy, his own svar. That what? Shah mitzvah lalamed as ben benoi, rakima ave nenu, oiloi milamde. We spoke a little bit about this last week. When does the parental, the grandparent obligation work with the parent obligation? Right? We said there's a mitzvah, vaidat of necho, necho, that the grandparents have to teach the son Torah. So that means what happens? The grandparents kick the father out of the picture. They say, you get out of here. I have to teach the son Torah. Apostles, but I have to teach you something. How does this play out? So we saw Me'iri. The Me'iri said that the whole grandparent obligation only works when the father's not there. Either he's missing, Nabuch died, or let's say he doesn't have the money to pay for the tuition, then the grandparent steps in. So Chazanish writes, he quotes from the stipler. Stipler said it on his own. If you know that your grandson learns with his father every single day, and you wanna chavrus hashav with your grandson, so you tell the father, you stop learning with him. I want to learn him because I have a mitzvah. Says the stipler, no, that's not your mitzvah. Your mitzvah is what we call a backup. You're a backup. If father doesn't do his job, then you step in. Which is interesting. We didn't learn necessarily pshat like that. We learned that you have a chiyuv like anyone else. Meaning the father has his chiyuv and you have your own separate chiyuv. Right. The question is, what's your obligation? I mean, the stipler held, my obligation only starts if the son's not doing his job. If my son is learning with my grandson, I have no obligation. It's interesting. We didn't get that feel from the Rambam, but that's the stipend.
This is mitzvah with a child ended by mitzvah.
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. We discussed that no. The stipler used to learn with him Chaim Kineski until the day he died. He felt that still a mitzvah with his son. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He thought that there's a chiyuv. The mitzvah of learning with his son does not end even after he's going to get big. Yeah, it's not so practical.
Grandchild.
That's what he's saying now. According, well, again, we don't know how Ramosha defined yet the mitzvah of grandson. We know how we define the mitzvah of son. Right? It could be the grandfather has a totally different obligation. So the stipler is saying on his own. Again, I'm not saying what the stipler is saying doesn't make sense. It just doesn't sound like that from the Gemara, from the Rambam, and everything we've been learning until now. We keep on learning there's a parent, there's a grandparent obligation, a grandparent obligation. He's just assuming that there's no mitzvah to double dip.
To learn that everybody has to learn.
Oh, good. So the stipend is going to say something along those lines at the end. So let's keep on reading. He writes, "Ulefiza hoisef ma'ivi Rebbe, duhu adinim acher lo yimedim ben benoy." Says the stipend. Let's say your grandson, your son or your daughter is not doing a very good job learning with the child. They're very busy, whatever. But they hire a tutor. They hire a tutor for their kid. Do you now step in as grandfather and say, "No, let me have the job. I have to do it." Says the stipend. No. Because someone's learning with your grandson. Well, why? You know, again, if they ask you to pay for the tutor, that's a different conversation. But as long as they're not asking you to pay for the tutor, says the stipler, as long as your grandson, meaning the stipler understood the grandparent's obligation is mamish what we call last resort. This kid is sitting by himself and no one's learning with him. Grandparent, you step in. But if someone's learning with him, you step aside. Your obligation doesn't come in such a case. The stipler felt like this logically. I mean, he understood that the grandparent obligation is not a overbearing obligation. It's a, what I call backup obligation. It's if no one else is doing it, then grandparent is next to line.
He doesn't hold the teacher,
the teacher,
to teach everybody.
Correct. Right. Not. Unless he holds that it could be fulfilled by someone else. Meaning, as long as this kid, meaning every kid in Klai Yisrael has to learn Torah. Either I teach it, son teaches it, tutor, the rabbi. You have to delegate a little bit, but every kid needs to be learning. Exactly. As long as the kids are learning Torah, again, the question you can ask is it pshat that I don't have a chiyuv or I'm a kain, it gets maybe a little bit more tricky.
But according to this, let's say that you have a tutor for an hour a day.
Right.
So is there still chiyuv for another 11 hours?
Right, that's the other question.
There's
plenty of time. Right. So that's going to really depend on what the chiyuv of the grandson is to learn.
It also depends on Chaim's grandson, because he wouldn't learn that much.
You know, can also only overload the children so much today. They also like to play ball and have fun. Right. It's a good question. There's always downtime. Every kid has downtime at some point in his life. And if every minute he has downtime, he has another grandparent fighting for his attention to learn with him, that's not going to end well. That's not going to tell you that much. But yeah, it's a good question. So Zok, the stipler, he writes over here, but there's a Me'iri. V'oid chazin, skip a couple lines where he says, V'oid chazin, ma Me'iri, shekasav, im ein lo ezer mitzara'av. We quoted this Miri last week. And Miri says, if there's no help on the father's side, then the grandfather steps in. So we learned the Miri Kipshuta. That means that the father's not here. Either he's not alive, he's not in the picture, he's busy working. Then the grandfather steps in. Says the stipler, no. He wants to taina the stipler. That doesn't mean that you can have a case where the father's just not interested. The father doesn't have time to learn with the son, and he doesn't want to hire a tutor, but the father's very much alive. He just doesn't want to spend the money. Says the stipler, then the grandfather has to get involved. When we say that the grandfather is missing, doesn't mean that he's not in this world. It means he's not doing his role as an active marbitzei Torah to his son. Therefore, says the stipler, as long as there's a void, then the grandfather step up and fill that void. Then he writes the Yesh Chiluk b'chiyav lima Torah leben uleben haben. Says this type of, there is a fundamental difference between a parental chiyav Talmud Torah and a grandparent chiyav Talmud Torah. The leben hachiyav gam limatem oisem es b'neichem noisev loydatem dahainu af acher shmilamdoi yesh gam chiyav al av lamdoi gam mitzad lima Torah. He wants to say that even after you send your kid to yeshiva, you still have a chiyav to teach your son Torah because he's your son. You need to learn with him. But the grandson's obligation is that he should know Torah. Doesn't have to come from me. Meaning you could say it a little differently. One is a mitzvah shebegufay and one is not. I have a mitzvah to learn Torah with my son. No matter where else he, the kid can go on Why You Torah and hear 100 shurim every day. But I need to sit down and learn it. My grandson, that's not my My grandson is vahidata. He should know about the Torah. He knows about the Torah. He goes to more shurim than I go to. The kid's learning 20 hours in yeshiva. Then I don't have to learn. That's how the stipler defines the chiluk between benoi and ben benoi, based on the psukim where we learn out the chiyuvim from. Very nice stickle from the stipler. So he says,
why if he learns 20 hours, when
would you 20 hours? I say to whatever extent he has more available time. So he writes over that's the difference. Okay, so now let's get down to the nitty gritty over here, the difficult part of the whole sugya.
The same way that the grandfather was tired for that with his son, who's the father in this story. The grandfather was hired
to teach the son.
No, to teach the father. The grandfather got to teach
yes.
the father and to give him the prismilla and
yes.
to color over.
Yes.
Right? So if he doesn't do it, then the son has that obligation when he reaches bar mitzvah.
Correct.
Okay. So is there some connection between maybe the grandfather has a chiyuv on the father, which is his son, to do what that father is not doing? Because, you know, he has to put that mitzvah for him. The same way he has to give him the mila.
Very good.
So
yeah, what I think you're getting at is you're asking a very long Mishnah Shaila, which we need to get to, is what is the nature of the grandparent chiyuv? Is it has something to do with the fact that he's my son's son,
Is it my son's chiyuv that I have to?
Some, right. Meaning, so where does the relationship connect to this mitzvah?
So according to what David's saying, there is fitting what we learned by Tzibur Avayim, that the whole reason they didn't
do it. So Bali Nader, we'll see. There's a very geshmakish tikkul Torah. From the Zahav Mordechai on the next page. Who's the Zahav Mordechai?
You tell me. Zahav Mordechai was a Mordechai Yaffe in the 1600s.
No, that's Lavosh Mordechai.
Oh.
The Zahav Mordechai was a Mordechai elephant.
Oh, from Mitri.
I have a lot of accursed type. Mordechai elephant was the reason I went to yeshiva. He started yeshiva in Queens. He started a koilel in Queens, which ultimately turned into my yeshiva where I spent my entire education. So I own Sharatar. He started in Qumran. Yeah. That's where I did all my learning. I learned there and I taught for many years. He started a koilo in Queens of the elitist, what he called the elitist of America. And he gathered a bunch of these guys. They put them in a koilo. And they were learning all day long in Qumran. They were learning all day long. The problem was he had a failing high school in Bar Park. So he combined the two together to start Shara Torah in Queens. And that's where I learned for many, many, many years. So I don't remember. He used to come to yeshiva a lot and speak. He used to come into the basement with his oxygen tank and a cigarette.
Which is very dangerous.
Very dangerous. He was the only person. Rabbi Mordechai Elfman was the only person ever to speak from the podium whenever he wanted to yeshiva. Because it was his yeshiva. He bought the building. He did everything there.
But he also traveled to America to collect money for Itri. And he used to come to St. Louis and give Sherman.
Rabbi Mordechai Elfman was a Nebuch. He had no children. But he was he brought him in. He brought him in. He found him. He collected all these great geniuses of American Jewry. Put them all together. He had Shmuel Orbach by him. And he was a politician. He was amazing. Mordechai Elfman was an amazing yid. But Al Kapanim, he was very close to the Biskarov, Reb Leib Malin. He knew everything. He was amazing. So he says what Michael's alluding to, that the obligation, now that we know that there's a grandparent obligation to teach son, to teach your grandchildren Torah, now we can take that relationship the opposite direction. Maybe now we can explain why grandchildren have to honor their grandparents. Right? There's halach in Yeridei, we'll get to it, that there's an inyan to be mechabed your grandparents. What are you going to tell me? The grandparents changed your diaper? They didn't change your diaper? They didn't give birth to you? None of those svaras fit. But says Rabbi Elephant, now that we know it works this way, now it goes the other direction. Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to next week. It might depend on how you learn this. We'll come back to that. I wasn't going to get to it today, even though it's on the sheet, but Michael just pointed it out. Let's go back to Asher Ramam for a second. Number 6, Rambam and Hilchos Talmud Torah Perek Aleph. This is the Yisoidus Dik of Rambam's. If you're keeping track, we so far did the Rambam and Hilchos Talmud Torah Perek Aleph Halacha Beis. Now up to Perek Halacha Gimel. Zog the Rambam, V'chayiv Liskor Milamed Libnoi Lalamde. You are obligated to hire a Rebbe to teach your son Torah. But The Einai Chayiv Lalami Ben Chaveirei Ela Bechina. But you are not obligated to pay for the neighbor's kid's tuition. That you only do for free. As I said to Rambam. What did the Rambam leave out? He left out Ben Benoi. The Rambam went two extremes. Sons, you have to pay. Neighbor's kid, you don't have to pay. What did he not discuss? Grandchildren. Which is what's more relevant to many people here is, do I have to pay for my grandchildren's education? Rambam didn't tell us. So if you take a look in the Kesef Mishnah, says the Kesef Mishnah, number 7, the Efsher, maybe. The Ladas Rabbeinu, according to the Rambam, Gam leben benoi chayiv liskalei malabit. Maybe. Kesef Mishnah is not sure. Why is the Kesef Mishnah not sure? Because you have conflicting diyukim in the Rambam. Why? The beginning of the Rambam starts off, you have to teach, you have to pay for your son's tuition. So what's the obvious diyuk? Your son and not your grandson. But then you get to the end of the Rambam. The Rambam says, you don't have to pay for the neighbor's kid's tuition. So what's the diyuk? The neighbor's kid I don't have to pay, but my grandson I do have to pay. So the Rambam is very, very unclear. The Rambam mamish left us hanging. He left out a major question about grandparents. So the Kesef... So there the Rambam wasn't even talking about money. He was just talking about kedima. He said, in kedima, it goes son, grandson, neighbor's kids. Actual learning, no money. The Rambam doesn't introduce money till this halach. And the pella is, who told the Rambam you got to pay for tuition? Where does it say in the Torah you have to pay?
Why would you... Take a deal like that, the grandfather wasn't mentioned. There's one thing, you're going for one individual, or one extreme, and saying that same individual, the father, you know,
the father, so, goes to the... But the Rambam left out that category.
No, but point,
so what do you want to do with that? Meaning...
No, but it's not even a diet that, oh, maybe he left it out on purpose. I mean, so it's
like... So what do you think the Rambam held? So what does the Rambam hold about grandson?
Tanei banim harein kamanim, and it's pashit, so you don't have to say
it. Okay, I'm saying that's a machloek is achorinim. I mean, the whole sugya about whether or not you can charge tuition for your grandchildren is this Rambam. Because this Rambam is recorded in Shulchan Aruch, word for word. So you want to be a Lamed, you'd be medayik this way. The tuition board's medayik the Rambam the other way. That's what the fight's going to be. So we'll see how it plays out. But this all comes from this Rambam. And the Kesef Mishnah is misupik. Now, first of all, if the tuition board comes to you, you can tell them, you proved to me Kesef Mishnah wasn't sure. So the Kesef Mishnah is not sure if I owe you money, so it means it's a suffix. You got to prove to me that I owe you the tuition money.
Compares the two. It's the same.
But there he was never. But there he was never talking about in relation to money.
It's the same mitzvah.
So that's why it gets very tricky. Because in halacha beis, the Rambam talks about this hierarchy. Never says a word about money. Then halacha gimel, all of a sudden now he opens us up this new thing called money. So if, it might be. Even though the Rambam used the lashon kishem, and we were medayik from the Rambam, it sounds like it's all one. It might be different. That's the question. So the Kesef Mishnah continues. It gets even better. Rabbi say uben benoi, uben ben benoi. Third generation, says the Rambam, nearly poshut the koydim leben chaveri. Says the Rambam, a third generation goes before. What?
That makes sense. I'll be svar.
Unless you hold that at some point we don't say avaydat levnechol levnevenechol, we stop there.
Exactly.
Right. Right. We know a lot of gedolim. Rabbi Yashiv wouldn't go to simchas after a certain amount of generation. He didn't feel that same yachas. You know, after a certain amount, we say, you know, how much do you feel that connection? Okay, I will hold mesapkuli. Says the Kesef Mishnah, this I have a legitimate suffering. What about your daughter's son versus the neighbor's kid? Now, it sounds like from the Rambam and the Kesef Mishnah that your daughter's son is already a notch lower. It's a notch lower. Yeah.
Yeah, that we want.
But that would be that would mean that you would hold that your whatever you're doing is because your son has
very good. Exactly. That's exactly it. Right. But here we're talking about your son-in-law, your daughter's child. Now the only reason to be mechalik is if you understand that the grandparents gave is not as a grandparent. It must be something to do as a parent of my child. Very good, exactly. This Kesef Mishnah is very, very insightful in how to understand the grandparents give. Most of us would have assumed the grandparents give because you're a grandparent. Grandparent means all grandchildren are equal. But if you're going to be mechal between my daughter's son and my son's son, the only way to logically explain that would be is that my chiv is through the son. Since I have a chiv to do this to him, it somehow flows to the next generation. And since I don't have a chiv to teach my daughter Torah, things are different. That clearly you see from the Kesef Mishnah. But the Kesef Mishnah doesn't answer his question. He wants to know, let's say, for example, you have an opportunity to learn with your grandson from your daughter or the neighbor's kid who gets kedima. Says the Kesef Mishnah, I don't know. That's right. The other grandfather who's Ben Benoit would go. The F should the aim.
Like remission at all.
This is not not necessarily. But maybe
then your daughter, you're to teach her mitzvahs also.
Remission was talking about your son, the parental obligation. Rav Moshe didn't explain to us the grand. Here we're talking about the grandparent obligation.
I know.
But oh, you're saying like that? It could be like that. Could be telling that shtickle from Rav Moshe and Echanami. If you're learning that the grandparent chiyuv has something to do with the parental chiyuv, and that you have something on your daughter also, I hear. Echanami, it's a good point. That's a good point. It could be that that might work its way into the chakir also. We'll see. There's a lot of different ways to learn this suffix of the Kesef Mishnah. What does the Kesef Mishnah say? Avoham esaf kli, this I'm not sure about. Iben bita koydim leben chaveri. The efsher, the ain koydim leben chaveri, elehechad in eschai v'ovim. Kesef Mishnah gives away the lumdus. He says, maybe the only time that you have a chiv to teach a grandchild is when you have a chiv to teach the father. Why would anyone think it has to do with that? The answer is it goes back to our original Chakira. How do you understand the grandparent role? So if you take a look over here, the kasha that the Lechem Mishnah deals with is who told the Rambam you have to pay money for your child's Torah? Mushtek, where does it say that? So what's some of the options? It's like any other mitzvah. Every mitzvah you have to spend money for. Every mitzvah you have to spend money for.
Or maybe if you don't have the ability to teach him, then you have to pay for it.
Right,
you
that's correct.
Otherwise.
But then the question is, so why don't you have to pay for the neighbor's kid? It's also a mitzvah.
Because you don't have the ability to teach them. So you have an obligation to teach Talmud Torah to teach Torah to everybody, right?
Right.
If you're not learned right. enough to do it, then you have to pay somebody to do it.
But the Rambam told us you don't have to spend money for the neighbor's kid. Even though we learn from a pasuk, you have to teach the neighbor's kid.
Torah. You, the teacher, is a shliach.
Correct.
You do. That bankrupt.
Something like that.
So when do you ever
have you know, a shliach?
It's a shliach. And there are tons of mitzvahs that you can do by
that's right. I mean, let's say, for example, you have mitzvahs to shake lulav, and you don't have a lulav, you have to spend money to buy a lulav. That's partial, right? And no one asks, how do you know you have to spend money to buy a lulav? Because you don't have it. If you can't do the mitzvah, then you have to spend money. So then the question is, so why not true for Ben Chaver and Ben Binayos? So
Remember, he said he didn't have children because he said somebody else was going to.
Yeah, Ben Azai.
Right? So yeah. Maybe it's the same thing. That doesn't apply when it's a mitzvah that other people can do. So if it's a mitzvah that only you but, can do, like lula,
so that, meaning,
you have to buy a lula.
So you want to say that the teaching your son is a mitzvah shabagufoy, and you have to do it
as opposed to
teaching others. Good. That could be a nice chat. That might be a chilk.
No.
So here the Rambam in the Kesef Mishnah and the other piece we pointed out last week, he says the Rambam is showing you two distinctions. There's two differences between Ben Benoy and Ben Chaver. This between Benoy and Ben Chaver is one is Kedima and one is money. Now, the Rambam writes, the Kesef Mishnah learned that the Rambam has two differences, but he doesn't address Ben Benoy. So I found a very nice shtickle for Rabbi Yitzchak Abadi and Or Yitzchak.
Another time, quote a Tuesday night on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, Rabbi Yitzchak Abadi. So Rabbi Yitzchak Abadi writes the following. I one time put on Rabbi Yitzchak Abadi on a sheet. One of my mom came and came over and started yelling at me. How can you put Rabbi Yitzchak Abadi on your sheets? I said, why? He's a bigger Yerushalayim than you. He's a bigger Talmud Torah. He knows more Torah than you. Leave me alone. Huh. Rabbi Yitzchak Abadi is a big, big Talmud Torah. Now, a lot of his psukim are controversial, but okay, I'm not telling you you have to pass. What? Because
well, if you know the psukim, you know.
Rabbi Yitzchak Abadi is a massive Talmud Torah. He was one of the earliest Talmudim by Rabbi Aaron. That's why they speak all about him. They were together in the early years of Lakewood. He's one of the major Talmidim by Rabbi Aaron. But he has a lot of Mechudoshim, Dikub, Sakim, in a lot of different areas. He paskins the way he sees the Sugya. The way the Rishonim look, the way the early Achrayim look, and he doesn't really care about anything else. Now, that doesn't get you too far in the mainstream world.
No, now he's in Lakewood.
So he's a massive Talmud, a big Yerush Shemayim. Rabbi Simon is very close with him, Rabbi Baruch Simon. So I once asked him, I said, how'd you get so close to Rabbi Abadi? What Sheikh is? Where'd you cross paths? I met him once in Eretz Yisrael, and we speak once a week. He told me he has notebooks of all of Rabbi Abadi's Pesachim. Rabbi Abadi has a sefer. I have it. Or Yitzchak, it's a two-volume sefer. He wrote another small kunch on Hilchos Nida. But again, in the mainstream, if you speak to people from old Lakewood, not the Lakewood today, the old Lakewood, they'll tell you he was the Pesach of Lakewood. He was the Pesach of Lakewood till I think the late 1960s. And then he went to Eretz Yisrael. Now he's back in Lakewood. He's a massive Talmud Chacham and an unbelievable Yerushalayim. How old is he? He's in his 80s now. He's no youngster.
His son was in the neighborhood, one of them.
He's a massive Talmud Chacham. He's a very big Talmud Chacham, a big Yerushalayim. But again, his psukim didn't necessarily make it into the mainstream world. Okay, fine. So he writes like this. But, this guy is coming to me. This guy doesn't know which way to open a Gemara. And he's telling me I shouldn't put a Yitzchak Abadi on my sheet. Okay. I told him where he can go. Okay, fine. So he writes like this in number 8. He says, V'yesh l'ayin. Minayin chiyiv zeh liskra melamed lebnoi. How did, who told the Rambam that you're chiyiv to teach your son Torah at a cost? Im hu lo yochel lamed, if you can't do it yourself. Maybe the chiyuv is teach as much as you can teach, and if you can't teach, then you're exempt. So he says, "Ayn lechem mishnah shekasev shloim motzedin zemefuch." So he said, if you look in the Lecha Mishnah, which we'll see in a second, the Lecha Mishnah Taka says there is no great source for it. But then in the footnote, he comes up with an interesting source. It says, Rabbi Abadi, Umashikasa, Bebeid, after Zion, Vaitsaz, Banam, the Talmud Torah. This is another Gemara that every fundraiser needs to know. The Gemara says in Be'ed after Zion that we know that a person's parnasa is set from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, except for what he spends for Shabbos v'yamtiv and Oitzah's bond of the Talmud Torah, and what he spends on his children's education. So this Gemara is actually brought down Allah by the Shach and Yeridei. Why tuition boards don't know this, I don't know. Why fundraisers don't know this. It means that any money you spend on your child's tuition does not come out of your annual salary. Just like whatever you pay for Shabbos doesn't come out, whatever you spend on Yamtiv doesn't come out, it will not affect your salary. Whatever you spend on your child's salary. So says Rabbi Abadi, what do you mean? Why should that be true? So Bishlam, if you hold it, this Taka Chiv to spend money on your son's Torah, now I understand why it comes back to you. But otherwise, why should it be so? Exactly. So says Rabbi Abadi, I have a source from the Gemara. So he points out, he says, no, Loinema Sham Shehu Chiv. He says, maybe not. The Gemara doesn't say you have to spend money on your son's tuition. It could just be that if you decide to spend money on your son's tuition, could be it comes back to you.
The idea there is don't be afraid to spend excessively.
That's right.
You could spend your minute, you need a little wine and a
right.
candle.
Right, right.
But it's saying don't be afraid to spend more.
That's right.
Much more than your chiyuv.
Right, right. So
the implication is, well, things that you do. Everyone does spend something on Shabbos.
Right, right. All these things cost money. Right. So the grata, there is a shayla halacha. How far does this go? If a guy decides every Shabbos he's going to have, you know, a hot catered event every single Shabbos, the money's not going to come back. The place can talk about within normal realm of normal living. You know, again, today everything's different, but I'll call the fiend. So Rabbi Abadi attempts to come up with a nice makar. He thinks that maybe this Gemara and Be'ah is possibly the makar for the chiv. If you look in the Lechem Mishnah number 9, the Lechem Mishnah says, Ze loy matzasi mifurash. This chiddush of the Rambam, that you have to pay for your son's education, does not say it anywhere. Umaharik kosav de misvara yada. The Maharik says it's a svara. What's the svara? Pashut. Every mitzvah costs money. Now, if you can get a lulav and esrog for free, great. And if you can't get a lulav and esrog, you got to go buy one. Is that a chiddush? Right? How many of us spent a lot of money on matzah? Does it say in the Torah you have to spend money on matzah? No. It says in the Torah you got to eat matzah. And because the matzah bakers aren't giving it out for free, we got to buy matzah. And you do, and a chlam. So you'd have a ken zayin. You'd be able to argue that there's only up to shlish b'mitzvah. So if you figure out that the tuition board is charging you,
today, it is a shlish.
Right. So if you figure out that the tuition board is charging you too much money, so you can say, I don't have to spend. I don't have to spend so much money. Says the lechem mishnah, the kiva mutal ischal al mikra inke chayv lam duschar. So he says, as far as very posh, once you're allowed, again, if you remember, there was a time where rabbeim didn't charge. It was only a later takana where they started charging for teaching. Once they started charging, huh? They did stocks on the side, like Rabbeim do today. They do things on the side in the afternoon. But so says the Lechem Mishnah, once that Rabbeim charged, so now you got to pay. Meaning now that became the way to do the mitzvah. This is the way to do the mitzvah, then you have to pay. Okay, so we'll see Bili Neder next week. We'll see Rav Moshe as a Gavaldik. Now we'll switch to Igros Moshe. We'll see Rav Moshe as a Gavaldik Mahalach. Then we'll wrap up the sugya from a halacha standpoint about what exactly is the grandparent obligation in Talmud Torah.
Thank you.
Next week we're on. The Safri. The Rambam brings it down to the Safri. It's not before Shigamar. I was on last week's sheet. I'm looking at it. No, it's not even coming from a lot of times I'm not a member of the school.